Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come to worship you today. It's such a beautiful day. You gave us another day to get up and to come to church. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. So it must be because you expected us to use it to come and worship Jesus. We're here today, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity. I really love how Brother Cal and how Billy always say, hide me behind the cross while I bring your word. We'll do that this morning, Lord. We ask that we want to feel your presence in our midst today. Be with us. Be among us. Let us feel your presence, Lord. Bless Cal as he brings the message that you've already prepared for his heart. And open our hearts and our eyes and our minds that we might receive it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dick. Thank you, Andrew. And Seth, it is good to have you with us today. God bless you, brother. How many of you love to sing about the old rugged cross? Hallelujah. If you're ever down at Liberty Park, let me encourage you to do this. If you pull down about pretty close to Freedom Point and pull in one of those parking places that faces the river, you'll see a cross on the other side of the river. It's not far from the Catfish House. But it's an amazing thing because that cross, when you're standing there, it's right in front of you and it's facing you. But if you walk all the way down to the end of the walkway, which is almost half a mile, you look back and that cross is still facing you. No matter where you go down there at Liberty Park, that cross, it's like it's just facing you. And you know it's not that way but it's amazing. I just drive down there this week and take a look at that cross. And Julie, I was singing. I can't sing, but anyways, when I was walking this week, and I looked over there at the cross, I began to say, that cross has a wondrous attraction for me. And I just began to sing. And I guess some of the people that were walking by me thought I was about half crazy. But anyways, take a look at the cross down at Liberty Park next time you're there. All right. having said that, let me say this. We are in the middle of a great, great book to the church, the book of Ephesians. Those of you that are guests and visitors with us, I've been preaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians, and for the last 2 weeks we've been in a section on the family. And we looked at 2 weeks ago that God expects, it is His desire that every family member be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at the heart of the family, the woman, the wife of the family, and how when she's under the control of the Holy Spirit, she can submit and follow her husband's leadership and respect him and admire him and complete him as a man. Well, today, guys, get ready. I want to talk to you about when a man loves a woman. And I listened to Michael Bolton's rendition of Percy Sledge's song that he wrote decades ago this morning. That song, When a Man Loves a Woman, it speaks about an unconditional love that a man has for a woman. And when he's loving that wife, that woman, like he's supposed to, everything in the world is right. Come on, girls, say amen. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul's telling us here in Ephesians 5, 25 through 33 this morning. The Bible reveals that it is God's design and His desire for the man to be at the head of the family, and the woman's supposed to be at the heart of the family, and both of them are to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, of the Lord. And, you know, the key word for the woman, as we learned last week, is the word submit. Well, guess what the key word for the man is? Love. Look at your neighbor and just say, love. Now, we know you ladies are going to love. It is in your nature to nurture, right? It just comes naturally. But the responsibility for love falls squarely on the shoulders of the spiritual leader in the family, on the husband. He is to love not just his wife, but everybody in that family. But especially he's to love his wife. Now, there are three words in the Bible for love. One is eros. That's a sexual kind of love, and you need a little eros in a marriage. And then there's the word philos, which is the word, you know, Philadelphia. It's a brotherly love, a social kind of love. And you need a little bit of that in a marriage, amen? But the word that's used here, the third word in the Greek language for love, is the word agape. And that is a godly, spiritual, sacrificial, unconditional type of love. And that is the word that's used all throughout this passage that we're looking at this morning. And so a husband ought to love his wife with an agape type of love. And we're not going to stand this morning because there's so many verses I need to move through quickly. But you just follow along in the scriptures. Look at verses 25 through 27. A man loves a woman with a sacrificial love. Look at it. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, all through this passage, through this pericope, through this part of the text, the comparison is being made between Christ and his bride, the church, and the husband and his wife. Okay, y'all with me so far? And the example is given of Christ having loved his church. And you know, we are his bride. And Jesus loves us with a sacrificial love. And a sacrificial love, first of all, is a love that is shared. The Lord Jesus portrayed that kind of love for us. We were singing about it this morning on the cross. He bled. He was bruised and battered. And he shed his blood until he died. Why did he die? He died for us. That's a sacrificial kind of love. He put our needs above his needs. His desire was secondary to our needs and our desires. And that's the kind of love that a husband ought to have for a wife. Amen, girls? And now, I want to say everything I'm going to say this. I am not an expert on marriage. As a matter of fact, I feel like a failure sometimes. Some of you guys can understand what I'm talking about. Right, guys? She's sitting there. She's going to be doing this. But I will say, you cannot love your wife too much. You cannot love your wife too much. I think the root problem in most marriages is that we husbands don't love our wives too much. We don't love them like Christ loved the church. You know, when I first got married, I was 27 years old. And man, you know, when you're 27, you think you've got the world by the tail and you know it all. Well, I found out I didn't know hardly anything, especially when it came to marriage. And I'm still learning. And the words that I hear most often during marital counseling and that kind of thing is the word I'm not getting my needs met. I'm not happy. I'm not this and I'm not that. And my brothers and my sisters, can I just be real blunt with you? If we husbands were loving our wives like Christ loved the church, there'd be far less problems in our marriages. Especially if you're talking about a Christian marriage, right? And so we're charged to have a sacrificial love for one for another. But, you know, we need to have this attitude, not my will, but thy will be done. Her needs above our needs. A sacrificial kind of love. You know, so from time to time, just some practical advice. We ought to be asking ourselves, you know, honey, where do you want to go tonight? What do you want to do today? Where do you want to go on vacation this week? I guess y'all heard about the farmer and his wife that were in their bed at their farmhouse asleep, and all of a sudden a tornado hit the house, and they found their bed just rising straight through the roof. And they're whirling around up there, and the husband looked over at his wife in the bed, and she's crying uncontrollably. He said, honey, now's not the time to be crying. She said, oh, I just can't help it. This is the first time we've been out in 20 years. I hope that's not your testimony today, my friend. We need to be willing to die for our wives. Well, Brother Cal, my wife doesn't deserve that. Well, did Jesus deserve to die for you? There's some deep stuff here. A sacrificial love is a love that's shared, but it's also a love that sanctifies. Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify. That word means set apart. And cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Wow. Jesus loves his bride so much, the church, that he nourishes her and he cherishes her so much that so that one day he will present his bride, us, to the Father, and we won't have any spots or wrinkles or blemishes. We'll be holy. That's what we're talking about here, husbands. We're to so sanctify our wives, so set them apart, and we're to lift them up like Jesus lifts up the church and takes care of his bride. You know, just growing up as a pastor, not growing up as a pastor, but just experiencing everything that a pastor has for the last 28, 27 years, I've heard it all. You can't surprise me with anything. But girls, if you're not married and you're single, or you're single again, let me just say something to you. There's a lot of guys out there, and they'll tell you anything they think you want to hear so they can get what they want. Are you following me? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, honey, you smell so good. You just look like $1 million. I just love you. And then he's going to try to take your purity away from you. You know what you need to do with him? You need to drop him like a hot potato. You need to tell him which bus to get on to get out of town. And that's not real love. Real love, if you're involved in a relationship, real love lifts you up. It encourages you. Husbands ought to be encouraging to their wives, cleansing them, contributing. What he's talking about here is contributing to their spiritual wealth. I pray for my wife every day. Every day I pray for Diana. Now, we need to pray together more as a couple. I'm just being transparent with you. And we need probably ought to study the scriptures together more often. But it is my spiritual responsibility as her husband to encourage her as Christ encourages the church and lifts the church up. In other words, her spiritual well-being is partly my responsibility. And if she's not growing and looking and acting and talking more like Jesus, part of that is my fault. I know you guys didn't come here looking to hear this morning, but that's what the Word of God expects out of us as as husbands. And so, and by the way, let me say this. It's not your wife's job to bring the kids to church. It's your job, guys. That's our job. I could have done it this morning because I got up at 5:30 regular time, you know. But really, guys, we ought to get up on Sunday morning and just get up out of the bed and before we really get busy and just shout, "It's Sunday morning! Everybody get up! It's time to get ready and go to worship." Some of y'all are not morning people, and I understand that. But what I'm saying is, it is the husband's responsibility to pour into his wife and to help her spiritually become all God wants her to be and to lead spiritually. You know, your kids shouldn't be learning how to pray down here. They ought to be putting into practice what you're teaching them at home. Anyways, I could say a lot more, but I better move on for time's sake. And so a man loves a woman with a sacrificial love. And then a man loves a woman with a personal love. Look at verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. See, there's that comparison again. The married man, a man who loves his woman, loves her with a personal kind of love. He's showing, and when he does that, he's showing when he loves his wife the way he's supposed to, according to Scripture, it shows others that he loves himself. You know, here's a novel thought. You can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself. Some of y'all need to fall in love with who God made and created you to be. Because if you can't, if you don't feel good about who you are in Christ Jesus, how are you going to love somebody else? Does that make sense? Amen. There was a couple that went in to see their pastor, and the wife had just grown distraught and listless, and she was just without any life and energy. And so the poor old pastor spent about 30 minutes and just futile, just not having any response at all, especially from the wife. She's just like, she's just sitting there, listless. And so the pastor, after about 30 minutes of counseling, gets up from his desk, walks around the desk, looks at this wife, and he picks her up out of the chair and throws both arms around her and gives her the most passionate kiss you've ever seen a man kiss a woman with. And she sat back. I mean, this woman came to life. I mean, she was all about that. And then the pastor said, "Now see, look how good she is now." He said, "You need to do this at least 3 times a week. And the old husband looked at the pastor. He said, "Pastor, I can't do that. I can only get here on Thursday." We ought to love our wives with a personal kind of love. When she walks into the room, guys, it's, "Oh, here she is." It's that kind of personal love that the Scripture's talking about here. Don't let somebody else love your wife. And guys, we are supposed to love ourselves. The Bible says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So how can you love somebody else if you don't love yourself? You know, this modern self-esteem cult that we have kind of works against that. It's, you know, you can have it your way. Just do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, go ahead and do it. That's a bunch of garbage. You feel good about who you are because who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why you've got some. Only thing good about Cal Hampton is Jesus. You know, and I've had people tell me this, couples be sitting there and the old fella or husband, so I've heard this more than once. "Well, you know, Pastor, I've just got to go find myself." And I've heard this dozens of times, really. And you know what I have started to say? When I hear that, "I've just got to go find myself," You don't have to find yourself. Just pinch yourself. You'll find yourself right here. Well, I just don't, this psychobabble that teaches people today to shirk their responsibilities and run out on their spouse and their families to find themselves, that is a lie from the pit of hell itself. We feed ourselves, we cherish our bodies, and we clothe them, we rest them, we clean them up, we love ourselves, therefore we love our wives in the same manner. Y'all understand? Am I communicating with us? You understand what he's talking about here? Helping them to become everything God wants them to be, encouraging them, being a blessing to them, pouring into them spiritually. You wouldn't beat yourself up and abuse your own body. I don't guess you would. And by the way, girls, I'm different from some pastors, but if you've got a spouse or a boyfriend or somebody that's beating you up physically, call the sheriff. God doesn't expect you to be a dish rag or a punching bag for somebody. Call the sheriff. I'm going to get a lot of email this week, I guarantee you. Husbands, love your wives as you love your own bodies. Sacrificial love, personal love, and then here's the one I really like. A man loves a woman with a mystical love. Say mystery with me. Mystery. Listen to this. For we are, we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What's the mystery that Paul's talking about here in verse 32? Well, it's this one flesh relationship quotation that's taken from Genesis 2. You know, Jesus quoted that verse in Matthew 19 when he was talking about marriage. And here Paul brings it back up to the church at Ephesus. And I call it this leave and cleave principle. Look at it. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. In other words, when a man leaves his mom and dad, they break the plate and you cut the strings. An old relationship fades out and a new relationship comes into being. I've done a couple of weddings here lately, and it is an amazing thing. And I still believe, you know, the Bible says God brought the woman to the man when he's talking about Adam and Eve. And I still believe God will bring a man to you when it's time, and he'll bring you his man. And when he brings you his man, and then you make these vows and promises to one another and to the Lord, something amazing happens every time I do a wedding. God takes two different, distinct, diverse individuals and brings them together and makes a brand new creation. One flesh relationship is what the Scripture calls it. And that couple who's different in a lot of ways, my wife and I are different as daylight and dark. I mean, we are. But when God brought us together, he made us one spiritually, one physically, and one emotionally. And that couple continues to grow together. As a matter of fact, when you see her, where's Cal? When you see Cal, where's Diana? By the way, she skipped out on last week when we were talking about the women, but she's here today. So, and here's an amazing thing. You'll be able to read one another's minds. You know what I'm talking about? Guys, you can come in the door after a day, and she can take one look at you and know what's going on. You begin to think alike. Well, that's scriptural. And bless God, guys, we even start looking like our wives after a while. You start favoring one another, right? Y'all, I'm giving y'all straight up truth right now, all right? You become one spiritually, emotionally, physically. That's the mystery of this thing called marriage. Since we're online, I'm going to go ahead and say it. A biblical marriage takes place between one man and one woman for one lifetime. Yeah, that's it. Now, but Pastor, you don't understand. I had a guy tell me this 2 weeks ago. I have lost my love for my wife. You know what I said? What? You got a Bible, brother? He didn't have a Bible, but I had one. And we opened up to Revelation 2 and verse 4. And I said, see what this says here? This says you have not lost your love. You have left your love. See, you don't lose your love. You leave your love. It's real easy to say, well, you know, I just lost my love. I just don't have that anymore. No, you walked away from it for someone else or something else. Right? And that's why God says, whatever I join together, you're one. There's so much more I wanted to say. I've run out of time. But having said that, let me say this. Guys, you can be everything that God wants you to be in your marriage if you have the Holy Spirit in you. Because every day when you get up, okay, Lord, I've got to have your strength. I've got to have your wisdom. Fill me with your Spirit. I place myself under your control. My mind, my actions, my words, my thoughts, my attitudes, all that's yours. I surrender control of my life. And then God's going to give you the power to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And you can love her sacrificially. You'll be able to love her personally. And you'll be able to love her mystically. And if it's not happening, it's because you haven't surrendered to the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. That's what happens in our marriage. When one of us is not under the control of the Spirit of God, it's chaos. Come on now. And then you girls, verse 33, did you catch that? Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Girls, let me just let you in on this. Your man's number one need is respect. He wants to be admired. He wants to be thought high. You see, God's given us these big egos. And if you'll just stroke that ego every now and then, especially out there in front of some folks, don't lie. But you'll be able to get anything you want. Amen, girls? So just respect your man. Just respect your husband. And so, like Forrest Gump said, that's all I've got to say about that. But really, don't you want to see our families and our marriages become all God wants them to be? Let's just do what the Word of God's telling us to do this morning. Father, thank you so much for your word. It rings so true in my heart and in my life today, and I fall so far short of being, it's tough to be a pastor and get up and talk about things like this. But we desperately need to hear it in times like this. And so, oh Father, would you mend fences today? Would you bind up our wounds? Would you let historical things just be like water under the bridge and just forgive one another and from this point in time on go forward in our marriages in the way that you would have us to go. And Lord, if there's one here that's in an unequally yoked relationship, well, I pray that that spouse might get born again right here today. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, listen, friend, Jesus loves you. If you just simply repent of your sin and turn from your sin. And by everything that you've got, with all your faith and all your trust, place it in Christ Jesus and Him alone as your only means of salvation. The Bible says by calling on Him, God will save you. And then you can be the kind of spouse you need to be. I don't know what prayer needs there are amongst us, but I know this message is spoken to somebody today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, I want to ask you to just come today. We'll pray over you, me and some of our prayer counselors. We'd love to pray for you. If you've received Christ, if you sat there in your seat today and you asked Christ to save you, let me know. Either fill out a card and put it in the bucket or come tell me right now. Man, I've got some good stuff for you. Let's just do what God's telling us to do with our families today. Let's all stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.